Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. This is the last stand on earth. The last stand on earth.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 282. It's October 16, 2024. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, here with Future Dan.
Pumping out a tweet for our show. Spreaker kicking off a link to our show tonight. Episode 282. Hashtag Patriot Power Hour. Hashtag Future Danger. Hashtag Prepper Broadcasting Network. Gonna tag you on it, Bankster Breaker.
I'm gonna respond right now. I need to get in there, mix it up. I used to be mixing it up on social media before it was cool. Then everyone started doing it, and I was like, this isn't cool anymore. But that's not the reason I do it, or anyone should, to get the message out. And also, you know, not only try to educate people, but learn a lot yourself. So anyway, at Prepper Radio is Prepper Broadcasting Networks. So at Prepper Radio, if you do use X, aka Twitter, go ahead and follow. Actually, did you know PBN has 14,400 followers? That's a hell of a lot. I'm gonna go retweet it right now myself, and looking nice, man.
All right. So we're just under 500 hours to the 2024 election. How are you seeing things shaping up?
Well, the continuing theme, just a little bit. I've been talking about that poly market in the betting markets. They've gotten a lot. They've gone another 5% towards Trump. So we're seeing 57 to 60% chance of Trump in the odds, pretty much in all the markets now. So that's it's definitely not going the right way. But as you pointed out last episode, that doesn't mean that much. There could be a lot of reasons that's skewed, but it does seem, at least in the direction of polls and in particular the betting markets, Trump is improving at least.
I just wonder how seriously the betting markets understand that. You know, it's 50 separate elections, and the Electoral College is what decides this, right? How many of those bettors don't understand that it's not a popular vote?
I think more than you might expect, and I'll take a quick look at it. I will say,
is their money. That matters. Like, you think it's rational because it's mostly people betting their money.
And, well, okay, here we go. Next week's going to be our election special, so we're going to talk about the machinations of the election. And also, I've been starting on my homework to go use some AI to analyze about a dozen of our episodes from 2020 election and, you know, the time after the election up until and beyond January 6th. So That's going to be next week, but we will talk about this to the opening. I'm looking at polymarket.com/elections, and each individual state you can bet on, and I think they probably take the aggregate of that or kind of the math of what everyone's betting per state and then roll that up into the national. Not sure, but you can bet each individual state, and the states have been moving a lot. Wisconsin's really gone for Trump in the last week, so that's affected it, I guess.
They got other questions, though, that are interesting.
They got a lot of other funny questions. Do you want to read some of these?
Yeah, yeah. What are these?
Will there be another debate? 6% chance. Will Kamala win all 6 swing states? 13% chance. Will Trump get more black votes in 2024 than before, I suppose? Got to read the fine print. 77% chance. And these percent chances are based off the betting odds, so won't get into how they imply the odds. But they also have Senate, so 80% chance the Senate is Republican when everything's settled. 55% chance the House is Democrat. 14% chance that Democrats sweep the presidency, Senate, and the House. So they still say, I mean, if you think about it, though, 14% chance that they can sweep all 3 is pretty high still, so it's not, this isn't locked up by any means. But they think 41%, or at least this betting market, 41% implied odds, 41% chance that the Republicans sweep the presidency, Senate, and House. Now, that number went up from like 30% last week to darn near 40, you know, a little over 30% last week to 41% this week. That's grown a lot.
What do you think this means for reality, though?
We actually misquoted the amount of money that this market has last week. It actually has like $1.8 billion spent, you know, bet on it. So it's not a small market. What does it mean for reality, though? Well, if they try to steal the election or there's some other shenanigans going on, that might not be priced in here. That's a big concern. And there's still, we've seen odds swing all the time. Hell, if you're a sports bettor, you know that sometimes it's like your team has a 94% chance to win and they still blow it all the time, it seems like. So,
right.
Like, there's still those chances. Like, and honestly, hard to trust that things will be kosher. But even if there are, there's still a more than 40% chance Harris wins. And that's quite a lot. You know, 40% is too high in my book. But, yeah, no, it's less than 47%, which it was last week or something like that. And it tracks it all the way back. So, again, polymarket.com/elections. The highest. So, Harris had a slight lead on Trump at one point. When was this? Like in about this time last month. So, today's October 16th. So,
mid-September,
Harris was 52. Trump was 47. But it's all been downhill for Harris since, honestly, they really switched places right around the vice presidential debate. Was that because Vance wiped the floor with walls? Might have had a little bit of impact on it. It's also just, you know, I think more and more people are seeing it. Harris campaign is just a total joke. But again, this doesn't mean much. People still got to go out to vote and still got to look out for shenanigans at the polls and in some of the swing states especially, right?
Yeah, I think those are felonies, though. I wouldn't characterize them as some sort of minimal mischief.
No, well, there's all levels of it, but if you're talking about like just stuff and balance, then yeah, that's the worst case for, you know,
yeah,
one of the worst case for sure.
I consider it liberty-killing fraud, actually.
Yeah, well, and so I think not having voter ID is liberty-killing fraud myself. A lot of states don't require that, or there's all types of shenanigans going on. But yeah, I think it's worth life in prison if you are caught and it's proven under law that you've manipulated this stuff, especially if you're in like some managerial position or like, you know, it wasn't just like one ballot. You affected hundreds of ballots, definitely.
I'm not sure in your lifetime if literacy tests existed on any ballots any longer in the United States, but it's within many listeners' lifetimes, including mine, that there were literacy tests at one point. That complete, you know, wow. You couldn't just pull someone out of developmentally delayed, or just so infirm or not conscious to the world person, and bring them to the polls. That, I mean, they had to pass a literacy test. They had to be, intelligent and recognizable and speak English. I mean, that's not too far ago in the past.
I think that seems pretty reasonable too.
Always was. I'm pretty sure.
It's kind of crazy. So how far the Overton window is shifted.
What about in your local environment? Forget online polls, social media, news manipulation. Forget all those sources of information. Bring it down to the street level, day-to-day interaction, during work, shopping, social life, getting places, going places, seeing things, seeing people, overhearing people, observing behaviors. What does your environment this October 2024 tell you about this election?
I guess the first thing that pops in my mind is, in a more rural setting where I live, there's way more Trump than, Trump signs or just overall support than in suburban and urban, blue areas.
But that was true that's 4 years ago.
But I wasn't living in this area, so I assume that difference was
stark. So you're not able to baseline it, because previously you're in predominantly.
So it's pretty stark now, but I don't know if it got even crazy, even more stark or less than before. I don't know that.
So I've been, have not changed locations. Mm-hmm. My daily routine and places I go, things I see have been, I have a baseline 2020 to now. I can tell you there's way less Harris signs on yards than there had been Biden signs. And I think Trump is about the same, not more, not less.
Okay.
And so I don't know if what I'm about to share with you is directly related. It's sort of tangential to this conversation. It's something else I observed in my local environment last night at a grocery store, local grocery store, shopping. So after COVID, the predominance of self-checkout rose to the forefront.
Right.
And you go to larger grocery stores or other department stores, there'd be no one to check you out. Pharmacy, drug stores. You had to do it yourself. There's no one, no cashier.
Right.
I went to a major, I'm not going to name it, but, for OPSEC purposes, but. Everybody pretty much is going to have gone to the store I'm talking about last night. Guess how many cashiers they had going? Large grocery store. About as large as they get.
About as large as grocery stores you get. It was today's Wednesday, October 16th. So it's a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Like three?
Eight. Guess how many lanes they had for self-checkout open compared to the total available at the store?
Really? Not all of them?
Guess how many?
Well, I don't know how many totally they have, but I would say at least half of them open.
Four registers in one lane accepting 15 items or less, with a store manager standing right in the middle of the four watching what everybody was doing, with another 16 roped off, shut down, unavailable.
Of self-checkout little stations?
Meanwhile, eight cashiers using the lanes that were there before COVID.
No way.
But even before COVID, they didn't staff eight human beings ringing up the groceries.
No, that seems like shit from the 90s or earlier.
It looked like when I grew up.
Yeah, I remember this just like 1993, 94. I'd be like,
even the early 2000s, it was still.
Okay. Seems like a lifetime ago, but I remember that.
I'm thinking that this major franchise,
because everyone's getting stolen from?
I think they have realized, done the analysis, it's more profitable to have people checking out.
Right.
Than the honor system.
One time,
things are tight out there.
I honestly overpaid for toilet paper one time on one of those self checkouts, but I've never stolen anything that I know of. But I could have totally made a mistake. for all I know. But I think the actual store got over on me. But I'm honest, and I'm not trying to pilfer stuff at the supermarket. I couldn't believe that they even did this. I would figure, like, even if only... Well, I think a supermarket's margin is, like, gosh, I thought I heard it was, like, 2 or 3%. And they would definitely have 2 or 3% freaking leakage, as they'd call it, or stolen goods. So, like, all their profit would be stolen, I would expect, on the honor system. So I can't believe they even did it for as long as it's gone on, I guess.
Yeah, 8 cashiers in 4 lanes front and back, and that pretty much you were not going through that store checking out food on your own without tight supervision. And if you had any amount of food, more than 15 items, somebody else was doing it.
Did it seem like, oh, so it wasn't even an option for...
There's a cashier, no.
So if you had under 15 items, you couldn't even do it.
All those other lanes were roped off, shut down, inoperable. Couldn't go there.
So you couldn't even wait in line.
No, you had to wait in line to go through a cashier like the old days. Right. And then I'm heading out the front.
That's funny.
And someone's checking the receipt, and I ask him, what's going on? Why you got all these cashiers? And he mumbled something about not being in the meeting that the decision was made, but he expressed surprise. It's like he basically revealed this is new. They're doing this now. They have not had 8 cashiers in the evening, right? It was near 8 p.m. Checking people out. So
crazy.
Obviously theft as a result of inflation.
Right.
And just the decay of values and the lack of enforcement, right? These stores probably have all the security cameras and footage of these minor thefts over time, and they made a decision over time to kind of just overlook it. And that's coming where I live. There's going to be other listeners, and if you're in California and other places where the shoplifting went, you know, to national embarrassment levels.
Right.
This is nothing new.
Lock up for the deodorant or something.
Yeah, or you know, parts of the country I see on social media that have everything locked up in glass cases. Socks locked up so they can't be, you know, stolen. Not electronics, right?
Yeah.
So, when that kind of environment shifts where I live, I that's where I think, you know, we can talk about the headlines on Future Danger, and we will. On this show, national level, macro level kind of trends. But I'm all about paying attention locally, too.
Super interesting insight. I'm going to have to pay attention kind of where I live, see if I notice that, especially at the... Well, I won't say the name of the store I go to. I think it's different than the one you go to.
I go to many different ones.
Yeah, so...
I'm always rotating around. I like to... When COVID came down, I like to get tight, you know, pay attention which stores had what, who was running out of stuff, shortages.
All right, we'll be back with the news dashboard here in a second, folks. Stick with us.
Patriot Power Hour, Interception.
February 25th, 2020, episode 85.
Why can low interest rates be bad? In layman's terms, think of it as adrenaline. If you're running on adrenaline at all times, that is really taxing the system. And really, it could kill you. Sometimes you need adrenaline if there's a medical emergency that can keep the patient alive, right? Bam, right in the heart, like Pulp Fiction. But guess what? You can't be having that all the time. We're not just seeing emergency measures. We're seeing unprecedented emergency measures. Very low interest rates for a prolonged period of time. They simply lead to bad and poor allocation of capital/resources. Malinvestment. Those investors, whether it's your pension fund, whether it's 401k, whether it's
foreigners who buy a lot of our debt, by the way, all those folks, they want to get a return. And guess what? When inflation is actually higher, even though they say inflation rate's low, it's not this low. And the lower these rates go, which just means inflation is much and much higher. Where does that end? Just ends in the total, unfortunately, the total destruction in an exponential fashion of any mathematical model.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Get on my back, lone survivor ass. They got me in the sights. No surrender, no trigger, fingers go. Living the dangerous life. Hey, 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 every day when I wake, I'm trying to get up, they're knocking me down. Hey, 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 when I need to be saved, you're making me strong, you're making me stand. Shot like a rocket up into the sky. Nothing can stop me tonight. You make me feel.
This is the Future Danger Heat Map Dashboard News Blitz on Patriot Power Hour, October 16th, 2024, 7:24 p.m. Eastern. Here we go, column one. FBI stealth edits violent crime statistics higher. Proof of government statistics being falsified. Michigan judge accepted a donation from the state secretary of state while considering her appeal. Judicial system direly distrusted. 30% of border cameras are inoperable. Foreign invasion officially invited. Mob loots freight train in Chicago. Riots erupting. Man arrested outside Trump rally with multiple firearms and fake press passes. Categorize that one under elected leader assassinated. Trump campaign requests enhanced security, citing growing threats from Iran. Again, political candidate potentially assassinated. DOD confirms unidentified drones flown over Langley Air Force Base for 17 days last December. Foreign black ops suspected. China initiates drills around Taiwan. Large-scale Chinese military exercises surround the island for over the weekend. Sino-Taiwanese war starts indicator. Posse comitatus concerns raised by DOD Directive 5240.01 as that guidance was updated for the first time mentioning lethal force against American citizens. Coercive forces mobilize. North Korea threatens South after leaflet drones fly over Pyongyang. Watching that under the category, Korean War restarts. Israeli supply of intercepted missiles under strain amid daily barrages. Always watching for the potential of an Israeli-Iranian war starting. Column 3, economics. We got one headline. And that headline makes the indicator gold soars. Black on red, grade one, happening now. Gold up 28% since January 1st, 2024. That is the only economic indicator activated tonight. Finally, column four. Talked about it last week. Finally got a headline on the topic. We're going to discuss it. Is the U.S. government using weather modification technology to strengthen hurricanes? Got a counterposing article as well. The answer may be no. Categorized under weather, weapon exposed. Japanese scientists find abortion drugs in vaccines. Soft kill depopulation exposed. And finally, Hurricane Helene's toxic flood waters threaten drinking water, soil quality. Putting that one under freshwater befouled. That is the heat map dashboard off of Future Danger tonight. Thanks to Breaker, your reaction.
The economics, not much going on there except for gold coming right back to all-time high, just under 2,700 right now. And Bitcoin's up a little bit, but like you said, there's not massive amount of bankruptcies, but there's not tons of great news that the Harris campaign is touting either. It's kind of just, I guess everyone's just holding tight, waiting till the election. But the Federal Reserve actually, I think, meets the Wednesday after the election. Like, it's early November for the next Fed meeting, but that's not even taking place before the election. So it seems mostly economic news, for better or worse, is holding tight until the election at this point.
Yeah, beans are one thing, bullets are another. Let's jump into this issue of DOD Directive 5240.01. That article is lengthy, and I will recommend readers go to it. But essentially, this is guidance about intelligence activities that the Department of Defense is committed to contributing to domestic law enforcement during times of crisis. And the author of this article is clearly raising issues with the violation of posse comitatus, the post-Civil War law that prevents military forces from being used to enforce the law inside the United States without the president suspending posse comitatus. The critique of the article that I would have is it doesn't really address the fact that posse comitatus can be suspended by the president in times of emergency, which is, I think, why DOD has a policy for that eventuality. The thing this time is it does mention lethal force against American citizens, something that no one previously in the Department of Defense thought was, a topic to be announcing in a public, unclassified document, at least. And that did happen at the end of last month.
Well, I guess it's something that maybe 10 years ago I would have been one of those raving conspiracy theorists and saying FEMA's getting the FEMA camps ready up to exterminate you, and they're buying up all the ammo, and they're going to use lethal force and suspend posse comitatus, etc. Sounded crazy. More of it's coming true, even if it's not fully fledged out, even if there's not taking away from FEMA camps yet. You know, they did have the essentially coerced vaccines between now and then, so that was a big part of it. But I don't know. I already think we live in a police state and just maybe 2 degrees away from brown shirts taking people away at night. So this is just a little more proof of it. Ron Paul talked about it. Of course, he's been all over this type of overreach for quite a while. And, I don't know. I'm too jaded to really comment more on it. I'm like, yeah, I already knew this was going to happen. It's happening. Some people are freaking out. I'm like, what? You didn't see this comment 10 years ago? But what do you think? You think this is actually a big deal, or it's just like a couple sentences added to a policy that doesn't really mean anything, or something in between?
I think it's one of those things that is now entirely politicized in the Department of Defense, and there are so much research on niche groups consuming news and what the Democrats would call fringe conspiracists are, in knowing that you can activate them and anger them and produce social media content. Right. Why not change some simple DOD guidance that's existed, in a somewhat innocuous form for decades in a way that gets Ron Paul and Alex Jones and others to talk about it in a hyper excited way, because you want to excite and agitate and bring about speculation that is going to be deemed by your constituency as crazy.
Well, I didn't listen to Alex today, but
I'm not sure he talked about this today either. But
well, I listened to about 3 minutes of his intro. I didn't get a chance to actually listen to him. I don't listen every day. Maybe once or twice a week. But he did say, confirmed they're planning Civil War conditions after the election. So I'm pretty sure he was talking about this. He's talking about, Trump winning, but I don't know who they are, but probably like the David Axelrods and all the friends over there and the Podestas and all of them trying to come up with a way to not certify the election. So even if Trump wins, he's a felon, or they come up with all these excuses that we're going to talk about next week, why maybe they do or do not hold any water, right? So we can talk maybe about the immunity as well and Supreme Court. But anyway, they're pretty much saying out of the Alex Jones of the world, at least. And I didn't listen to today's episode, but I know this is where he's going. He's been previewing it. And a lot of people follow this track that either A, they're going to steal the election from Trump, but B, maybe Trump will win by so much they can't steal the election in terms of fraud in the actual vote, so they will come up with some other reason to not allow him to be inaugurated in January. And that's the, you know, just because we get through the election, if election night, it's like, wow, Trump actually won. Looks like he's going to win the Electoral College. They're saying, no, there's still, you know, 60 or 70 days or whatever till January 2025 where they're going to try some stuff to, they are going to try some stuff to stop Trump from actually getting in. That's what they're talking about. And they say that will cause so many people to freak out and be pissed that, you know, they're going to need to clamp down on all the right-wing extremists is essentially where they're going with it.
The challenge I have with that is who is the they and how is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I would say Alex would have some of his ideas. We're not the Alex Jones show here, but I guess. So do you think this is more of a...
I'm open to the idea.
Yeah.
I just need more fact and more mechanically at the tactical level. I think we're going to, you know, take it upon ourselves to talk about how the, you know, this can happen. And we're not breaking a lot of new ground here. What Dinesh D'Souza did with, you know, 2,000 mules obviously shed light on one of the techniques to stuff the ballot boxes. But, and you know, we're not going to necessarily talk about every permutation of fraud, because the most dangerous ones are the ones we haven't seen coming yet, right? There'll be new stuff this year.
That's a great way to put it.
It's not going to work like in 2020 with the lockdowns and the mail-ins at that degree. But I always have that problem with the big, mysterious they argument. You're going to have to be more accurate about who they are.
Q. This would be like the anti-Q. It would be the they on the Democrat deep states that somehow would be able to prevent Trump from winning. Now they've, you know, I don't have the quotes queued up, but I have heard some of these, you know, DNC type folks talk about how they would try to bring Trump down, even if he wins the election, that he's unfit. But the technical and legal jargon, I don't have that ready to go.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's any fitness argument that is constitutionally sound in the least. Disqualified from conviction. Well, he got the civil conviction in New York. Criminal conviction is also in New York, but it's under appeal. So,
And it wasn't for insurrection. That's a totally different thing,
right? So, on a state by state basis, I would have thought by now they would have tried to get him removed,
right,
from certain state ballots based upon state law to this regard, and it hasn't happened. Well, it was attempted, and
right,
Supreme Court shut it down.
So why wouldn't they? Yeah, I think. So I guess
I'm not afraid of mysterious theys that don't have a how to do this. Now, there may be theys out there, and they may have a how, and we haven't seen what's coming yet. But you gotta show me. You gotta show me something.
No, that makes sense. They seem pretty desperate, but it's not over yet. So we'll be, you know, I guess we'll be doing our show the Wednesday after. That will be the first day the Fed meets, for what it's worth. But today is the 16th of October, so the 23rd next week we'll be doing our election show. The 30th, we're still going to be live on air, I believe, but it's, you know, we'll be talking, of course, about the election, but it won't be our election special, so to speak. We wanted to do that a couple weeks before. And then it'll be the 6th, so that's the day after. So we'll be covering it in great detail. Anything else you wanted to talk about the race specifically, or really anything?
Oh, there's more shoes to drop. There's more There's pre-planned October surprises that are going to be rolled out. How many of them are trivial and overlooked, and whether any actually have a meaning, I don't know. The threat of the Israelis striking Iran and absolutely demolishing that country's petroleum export capability, you know, that lingers over in the air over all of this.
It could almost happen any night. There's always reports of this and reports of that. There are reports of it was going to happen last night. It did not. A lot of analysts out there say that Israel's going to have that decapitation strike they want to hit beforehand. But I guess it's been, what, a couple of weeks and they have not really
done decapitation strike against the Iranian regime?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I've said previously, they might go ahead and do that, and there might be nothing that Iran can do in response.
I kind of thought it would have happened by now, especially, you know, they had such a role going with the taking out the leaders of different terrorist organizations, and then the beepers, and then Iran kind of hit them back, so they had kind of that momentum where they could be like, all right, well, this is our counterattack to your counterattack. But it's been quiet the last week or two, relatively. There's still actually both sides are still hitting each other, and there's deaths every day, but it's not like thousands of rockets on either side are going off at this point. This goes head into heels right into Israeli supply of interceptor missiles under strain amid daily barrages. So maybe it's kind of an attritional warfare in that regard.
And it looks like this president is limiting the supply and the protection in order to de-escalate what Israel's been doing. So there's some of that going on. Netanyahu versus Biden in the background.
Yeah, so October 1st was the Iranian ballistic missile attack, so just over 2 weeks ago. And yes, again, Israel is launching bombing strikes and ground attacks and whatnot, but they haven't tried to take out the Ayatollah that we know of.
In Lebanon and in Syria. Correct. Sometimes. Not directly in Iran anytime recently.
Yes. Yes, and a lot of people were saying that would happen potentially between now and start of October until now. Do you think there's a chance it'll happen between now and the election, and do you think that's one of those potential October surprises? Or do you think this is kind of hit its peak? If it hasn't happened by now, maybe it won't happen.
Well, how many people could it surprise? It could surprise big swaths of the U.S. electorate that's unaware of what's going on in the Middle East. But, I mean, if you're voting for president, you're probably somewhat aware of what's happened in the Middle East in the last 2 years.
And Iran's been kind of the face of at least one of the faces of the axis of evil for two decades. So people know Iran is bad. And a lot of people don't like Israel these days, though. But still, I think a lot of voters are like, oh, Israel's our ally. So we like Israel more than Iran. Now, yeah.
I think most voters prefer not to be have the Middle East on absolute fire. Right? Like,
I would hope
No matter what is going on there, not having it being a bloodbath is probably important for everybody.
That'd be helpful. But if it turns into a bloodbath between now and the election, what result would that, would that affect the election at all, in your opinion? Or just it's, horrible and it's going to cause problems all around the world, but it's not really going to matter on the election?
All I know is I haven't seen the Democrats lose an election without goading someone in their own, external to them usually lately. Used to be they blame Dukakis or blame Kerry, right? But now when they lose, there's going to have to be somebody to blame, right? There's only so much screaming about Trump that they could do after they lose to him, if they lose to him. So somebody's going to get blamed, and the current leader of Israel might be on that list if that happens.
So China encircling Taiwan with a military exercise.
They do that every now and again.
They do. Do you have any reason to think that'll blow up between now and the election?
I don't. I don't think the Chinese have the military capability to take that island, and I'm pretty sure they know it. And that they do these major shows of force because they might have a groupthink going on in Beijing and that regime how could Taiwan possibly stay independent from the mainland forever, and that it naturally has to be absorbed by People's Republic of China, and that these military shows of force are, you know, a way of persuading the population of Taiwan over time that, you know, they'll inevitably be absorbed into the communist state. I'm not sure that there's going to be, you know, any kind of, you know, it wouldn't be in China's interest to launch that war right before our election. It would definitely hand the election to Trump, don't you think?
I would expect as much. I don't think they're going to launch that right now. Anyway, we'd see a lot more buildup. They can't just try to take an island without anybody noticing these days.
The trouble for, you know, Indo-Pacific Command and our allies, Japan, Australia, Philippines, you know, even the cooperation with Vietnam and all the military staffs of all these countries, is every time the People's Liberation Army puts that many warplanes and warships out around Taiwan, every single time you got to take it seriously. You have to be ready.
Right.
And I'll bring that back to the Middle East. Iran bombarded Israel proper on October 1st, 16 days later. The Israeli Defense Force is probably letting the Iranians stay on the highest possible guard day after day after day. Like, how long could you keep your air defense guards up at that level? And then,
right,
you know, maybe wait for an earthquake and hit them covertly during that is types of things in Tel Aviv that they probably plan for.
All right. You know, the readiness fatigue or something like that. Can't stay on watch at all times. That applies to the average prepper as well, really.
Yeah, and we also have drones being flown
around. Yeah,
well,
tell me about this.
Bases.
What is this?
Yeah, so there's one article that is now published and mainstream and is out there that, you know, Langley Air Force Base detected, you know, some kind of drones in their airspace. And Langley, you know, has the F-22 Raptor, probably the most advanced war plane ever built. Lots of them. So it's clearly an indicator to me of foreign black ops. I was watching Fox News last night, who reported on this incident and had their own report, which I have been unable to find a direct headline link to. I think I have had a link to this in the past. They were just summoning up something that's happened recently. A Chinese student in the Norfolk, Virginia area, where there's giant presence of, you know, U.S. Navy concentration in Tidewater region, was arrested trying to leave the country after being caught pulling a drone out of a tree nearby other suspicious drone flights. So it's pretty clear that we have advanced force operations at a long-term strategic continual basis, always in effect inside our own country. And that's the type of thing during, you know, the days of the Soviet Union, the Cold War, that the FBI hunted down and prevented. Doesn't seem like they're doing that now.
Yeah, like one drone coming over and then running away 5 seconds later is totally bad enough and needs to be fully investigated. But for at least on this article, this doesn't even seem real, but it must be. 17 days? How could these drones continue to fly over a 17-day period? Like, and they just let this happen?
Oh, I'll bring it. I'll answer that. Bring it back to DOD Directive 5240. And what can local military commanders do in emergency situations when they're military installations are under threat.
Oh yeah,
that's the core of that directive is absence guidance from any chain of command. If you are a commander of an installation and you know it's under attack, you know drone surveillance is one thing, but in a real emergency, right? Yeah.
Well, drone bombs like Ukraine looking.
What can a Air Force commander do at Langley Air Force Base to protect his Air Force base during a you know the complete fog of war, some massive internal unrest, right? It's pretty clear to me the Chinese and other governments have all kinds of, you know, proverbial sleep, I don't know about sleeper cells, that's more of a terrorist concept, but just special operators and intelligence gathering that are here and can report home what they know about our posture, and the opportunity for sabotage is there. I don't think our DOD in the worst case scenario would sit back and do nothing. But we're not in the worst case scenario, and that is why the Langley Air Force Base commander probably is relatively powerless to do anything. He has to turn it over to local police to do something about it.
Can't be shooting out of the sky with Stinger missiles, I guess. Can't accelerate it that much.
They could if the drones were over the actual installation. Okay. They certainly could do that.
Right. But, so it wasn't exactly over. It's just
I'm pretty sure they're intelligently, cleverly near the airspace.
Right.
With sensors that can look in without being in the airspace.
Right. Makes more sense.
If whatever part of this report was declassified, I'd be guessing that's the kind of things that, you know, obviously our enemies are doing in our country and nearly in broad daylight.
And that totally makes sense why the base commander should have that some of that sort of authority. What I'm more worried about is, well, every road within a 50-mile radius is, you know, important to our base security. Therefore, we have to have checkpoints all throughout.
That's possible. That would be, you know, during a major world war scenario, that would happen. That would be obvious. That suspend posse comitatus and you have martial law. It's possible. Of course, Lincoln did it.
Now, what happens if two or three Oklahoma City level bombings occur on November 9th and they say it was some terrorist cell and they suspect people like you and I are in it?
Who's they?
FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security, DOJ, and you know the tips that they're receiving. And
I'll
some
be
of
listening
intel.
To what the military says. None of the rest of them.
Do you expect that there would be some sort of martial law regionally or in those cities if there were multiple bombings like that? Pretty much September 11th or worse.
Bombings of what?
Federal buildings.
Federal facilities attacked.
Oh, civilian, not military.
But federal civilian facilities attacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they'd fortify them. They'd reinforce them.
No, would they, like, roll out the National Guard and
they
try
would.
To, like, nationwide, though?
Yeah, they would. And if it is advanced force operations by an enemy actor state with deep undercover sabotage forces, shouldn't they do that?
What if it's a false flag?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem we have.
That's what I'm, yeah. It is definitely, like, I want them to be able to do this if it's truly China invading us, but I'm as worried of domestic enemies as foreign. So we'll be covering it the best we can here, of course. But anything else you want to touch on that? It makes a lot more sense that if the drones were not like literally over the F-22 hangars, but could maybe peer over them or, you know, were
500 feet stable. Well, for all we know, there's been many that have been caught doing that and disabled and brought down, and that would be all classified.
Exactly. That's another thing I've always thinking in the background is like, yeah, like they didn't tell us about the ones they caught or the people they caught or the spies. What do you think the fact that this even comes out? Do you think it's just so many people already knew about it, they had to release this, or
it's not good news for this presidency.
From Tim Kaine, Senate Armed Service Committee member,
yeah,
from Virginia.
I'm surprised that's coming out. I'm surprised that the FBI is revising upwardly their crime statistics.
Yes.
Some of this stuff you got to have an explanation for. So if you're going to be, you know, hyper conspiratorial and say that, you know, it's parts of the deep state that want to see Trump return to power so they can bring about, you know, the mysterious they, somebody somehow can bring about, you know, an entire collapse of the system under Trump, that there's certain logic to that. But if You think that, you know, the deep state has been firmly under the control of the Democrats since the time Bill Clinton left office. That, you know, why would that news be getting leaked now? Maybe it's a product of, you know, freedom of information requests, court filings, judicial system, you know, a legal process, public laws, and people just fighting to get that information out. I don't know the background of why the FBI revised today. I'm just speculating, but odd that that news is out.
We had mob looting freight train of flat screen TVs in lawless Chicago. Obama's beautiful Chicago. I'm sure you saw this. Obviously, theft is going up. Violent crime, which is separate than theft, is going up as well. What are you seeing from this? And, you know, is this just something that happens every day? Or are you starting to see a trend of kind of mass thefts, whether it's at a luxury store or apparently now just on the railroad? They're breaking in.
This isn't the first time. We've seen the rail yards looted in California and smash and grab, you know, mob riots, you know, flash mob riots. I mean,
right.
But, you know, pretty much, you know, it happens in places that are dangerous to live. Those are cities governed by Democrats. And if you're there and listening to this broadcast, I would love to sit down and understand your preparedness plan to survive when that goes, you know, even one order of magnitude worse.
Oh yeah. And honestly, it'll go an order of magnitude or two order of magnitudes higher, and way more people will be doing it. Instead of it just being 1% of people doing it, it's gonna be like 10% or 20%. And they're gonna be way more desperate and brazen than they already are. So it's it's exponential exponential.
Could get that way. Could.
In certain areas, very quick, depending on how Mad Max you want to get it. I usually presume some of the worst case scenarios for what you got to try to prep towards, but, you know, not living in these areas is a start. Some people have to live in congested areas and high crime areas. It is what it is, but hopefully you got a bug out plan at least if the power goes out or things occur. You probably don't want to be there at least a couple days into that.
So, this deal about a man arrested outside a Trump rally, the would-be third potential assassin of Trump, last news I saw is he was absolutely denying that you know any of the allegations, and apparently California couldn't hold him, released him. So, got to be honest, didn't follow where that news story has gone, but Trump wasn't assassinated. It wasn't even a close shot. So, we did watch him return to Butler, Pennsylvania, behind a turret of see-through bulletproof, you know, podium glass. So I'm not sure whether that's still a realistic scenario for Trump to get shot at a rally at this point. But, you know, I think you've said that, you know, you'd be surprised if he made it alive to the election day. What are your thoughts of 3 weeks left? Should we be concerned he's going to be assassinated?
They've been trying. I'm gonna do a whole show on they, and the banksters are somebody that I talk
somebody,
about.
Somebody, you can use somebody. Somebody's been trying to put an end to the Trump.
And I think multiple people or organizations, not just like one group trying to do it. Again, what have we never seen? What types of attempts have they foiled that no one knows about right now? That's one question. They don't have much time, though, so you think they would try harder as time goes on or just give up on the idea. So I guess right now, hopefully they've given up on the idea, or they're going to have to double down with something besides a shooting, and whether that's like a truck bombing or some type of drone thing, or
I think you're talking the days you're talking about are any conspirators within the government who would let it happen on purpose.
This is a much larger they, yes.
Yeah, not a random lone wolf they. There's certainly hundreds of people crazy enough to go ahead and on their own kill any president of any party at any time. That's what the Secret Service is there for. We know we have, you know, in modern society, you're going to have the threats of assassins.
So I believe in the back channels. Maybe it was even the NBC guy himself. But I forgot who it was exactly. But they put a meme or, you know, it was like plan A was Biden. Plan B was, you know, this is how to beat Trump. You know, it was Biden. Then it was try to assassinate him. Then it was bring in Kamala. Then it was have that second assassination attempt. Then it's steal the vote. Then it's like World War III. If all else fails, maybe World War III. Anyway, point is, they continue to fail, and they're either going to have to just let Trump win, or they're really running out of time, so the next few weeks is when they have to assassinate him, I think. Or, you know, if he becomes actually elected, I don't think anyone's going to believe that it was just a random person anymore. And if he actually became elected and certified, then I guess it would go to, you know, Vance, and hopefully people would rally behind him, because if everyone's just only relying on Trump, even in the best case scenario in 4 or 5 years or whatever, the revolution's gonna run out of steam. Like, you know, MAGA's not gonna have Trump forever, so people gotta start planning for that, number one, but also gotta get across the finish line, and ain't there quite yet.
I think Vance has presented himself pretty well this campaign.
I like him a lot. Vice presidential debate,
hadn't stepped on it, hasn't embarrassed anybody, hadn't had a bad moment that had people who otherwise would support him second guess him.
Sure.
So I, you know, out of the four candidates, the Mr. Magoo with the shotgun last weekend, Kamala Harris, and even Trump, who, you know, steps on it time from time, he misstates something and gives his opponents an ability to take his plain spoken words and blow them out of context. Right. I think he does it on purpose, right? He wants it, right? It's part of the, you know, part of the, you know, angst that propels him to the presidency is tweaking his opponents.
Oh yeah.
Vance has been sort of a flashback to an era where political candidates were, you know, much more even keeled. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I'm almost never saying nice things about politicians, but in the vice presidential debate especially, but I've heard him speak and, you know, on Twitter as well. Vance growing on me, you know, still worried about some of his past with some of the banksters and whatnot. But hey, we're not trying to vote in someone who's 110% pristine. I don't like the phrase "lesser of two evils," but if, you know, Trump and Vance, not bad. Kamala, freaking pure evil. And her cabal, she's just a front lady for it. So, you know, I don't need... If Trump and Vance can be a B in my book, that is enough to vote for him for sure. And that's pretty high. I've never given a politician a B in my book, except maybe Ron Paul.
I don't really think about it that way anymore at all.
I know. Now we're at war, essentially, so you can't.
I think about, you know, who do you vote against?
Yeah.
You vote for the candidate most likely to put the people that must stay out of power.
Well, not usually the stakes aren't this intense, but they are now.
4 years from now, it'll be as intense or worse. 4 years after that, how's it going to be less intense or worse? You've seen the trajectory of the federal debt. Wow. You know the financial basis of the country is rotting from within. How is not every midterm and presidential federal election not going to be like this and like this and like this until something breaks? Because one thing's for sure, this election, neither party is going to have the amount of votes in the Senate to bring cloture. Right, you got to have 60 votes to bring a bill forward for a vote. Neither one's going to get that unless they want to break and wipe out those rules of the Senate, which lots of people have talked about, the nuclear option, but no one's dared do it yet. You know, we're not going to have even if that 41% poly market prediction on the Republicans sweeping the House, the Senate, and the presidency, if that happened, the margins are going to be so slim that Trump and Vance are going to be wheeling and dealing to get whatever they can get through. Because there's going to be a great big middle, you know, portion of the Republican Party that will have made it to power and face election again in 2 years, the members of the Congress. So this is by design. We have limited government and balance of power on purpose. Every 4 years, we get people, you know, who don't really pay attention carefully to politics for the rest of the time, come in and weigh in on, you know, what they hope and expect to happen with a presidential election. You know, that person presides, right? They're not an executive in any, you know, medieval dictatorial way. And for Democrats to say that Trump's going to come in and be that way, I mean, it's obviously there's constitutional limits. He's going to get crushed by lawsuits by them, like as soon as he's in power, if he makes it there.
Sure. No, it's not easy at all. Well, none of the candidates are really talking about stopping any spending. I don't know. Have you heard Trump or Vance talk about balancing the budget?
Trump's attitude is that if he raises tariffs, he can bring in the revenues to put the, you know, trajectory of that deficit, you know, change that trajectory, right? So, and somehow he's made it to this point, and the Democrats have been unable to, you know, it's just that they don't even think this way, so they can't make the argument. But the spending that came out for the stimulus during COVID under Trump is clearly the result of the, you know, that inflation was going to result from that.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Trump's completely blamed Harris and Biden for the inflation because it showed up
right
under him. And he's completely, you know, the whole topic of whether the COVID vaccines were unhealthy to take and how Trump took credit for, you know, Operation Warp Speed, getting the experimental vaccines out. All of his supporters who absolutely hate the fact that that experimental vaccine was put out and the effects of it, they're all silent right now. You know, lesser of two evils, right? You can talk about that, but it's not going to help Trump. So don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to do that. But I guess I could see where you're coming from. Anything else you got for the night?
What else are you learning from Poly Market?
I just was clicking around. 80% chance the Fed cuts rate by a quarter of a point. 11% they keep it steady. But I don't know. There's just all types of... You can bet on anything in this world. So, yeah. Trump prison time in New York case before the election. Obviously, 98% chance no prison time. You can make some money off this if you wanted to. Yeah. 3% chance Biden resigns before the election.
They don't let you bet on people passing away or dying, do they?
Probably, maybe not on this website, but like is Trump assassinated? Is that what you're looking
for? Or Biden dies?
Biden resigns.
I know.
But
I think the chances of him actually passing away might be higher than him. I don't think anything would cause them to resign.
Right. I was actually thinking sort of the same thing, like might not even make it to the election, not because he resigned, but other purposes or other reasons. Anyway, we're running low on time. Any other articles we missed here?
I'd back off and have, you know, just the gestalt. We got two indicators, gold soaring, foreign black ops, clearly suspected. Those are grade one, black on red, happening now. And then most of the security column is grade one news, topical news. No real movement beyond the normal towards any crisis there and in that column. But the absence of news in the Liberty column and the economic column, I chalk that up to, you know, during the election, every single thing is politicized. Any single news coming out or released is going to be seized upon by the campaign, so nothing's coming out. That doesn't mean nothing bad's happening in the background secretly, but there just isn't any news.
I don't know if that'll last much longer. I mean, we'll be back next week, and we'll be back the week after that, and the week after that. Before you know it, it'll be the post-election special. But we also, of course, reserve the right to jump on if anything crazy happens. We could maybe show up on a random Saturday for all you know. So stay tuned and listen to PBN as a whole. A lot of great, great stuff out there right now, especially some updates on what's going on in North Carolina from the ground. So PBN, Prepper Broadcast Network, and Patriot Power Hour. We're going to be finish out this year strong.
Thank you to all our listeners for listening to Patriot Power Hour, episode 282. It's a pleasure to do the show with you, Ben.
You too as well. See you guys next week.
Microphone. Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.